had hoped that during the time that we were here on a Thursday night program and service, that we would have those that were maybe were not able to be out on Monday night or Tuesday night of the week, and to be in here on that Thursday evening, extended time. I know it helps me when congregations have a Thursday night program, and there are others that have gospel meetings in the area too, and so I can go there on a Thursday night just up with a third one of the places that does this. Glad to have this brother from Tipplersville tonight. And to take the word back to Sedalia, the only Sedalia that I know is a wonderful lady who came from the Crockett congregation area, and her family is special to me all the way through, and take her my very best wishes. In regard to this particular matter tonight, we're looking at some ideas, and I want you to know that today spent a good bit of time putting the MP3 format into our speeches and sermons and putting them on our Crockett MS ChurchofChrist.com. The Crockett congregation has employed a website, and that website is the Crockett MS Church of Christ. They told me if you don't put MS on there, the likelihood is that when they type in Crockett Church of Christ, it'll take them to Texas. And I said, I don't want them to go to Texas. I want them to come what we're doing here in Northwest Mississippi. He said, well, the best way to do that is put MS after Crockett. And so Crockett MS Church of Christ.com is that site. Been a delight to be with you all during this week. Thank you very much for the food and for all of the good words that have been spoken, encouraging words as they have been given. I sure appreciate that. Look forward to being back with you and others in this area, maybe sometimes. We've had a number of people to come to be a part of this service with us throughout the week. And maybe somebody has an opening there that I could use and serve on some particular theme. And so I look forward to being back in this area somewhere, at least in the next few years of time. Walking in the love of God. Walking the way that God would have us to be in walking. As we read in 1 John 4, commencing verse 16, you'll notice that this love for God is a way that we ought to have and be. And that if we do not love our fellow man as we should, how can we say we love God? Because our fellow man we have seen, but our God in heaven we have not seen. How can we possibly say we love him? The idea of walking in that light is described in 1 John 1 in reference to the way that they were lived. Walking in that light of God's love, walking in that light to do the right thing. Say, do not say you have no sin. You deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you. You make God a liar. But if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, as he goes to 1 John 1 in verse 9. And so that way of life that we want to live is a way of life that's humble before God. We don't do the right thing and say the right things and act the right way or even think the right thoughts always in our days as a result of missing the mark with the way that we think and the way we talk and the way we do. We need to come back to the Lord. And as we can come back to the Lord, and he promises us that he will forgive us of all our unrighteousness, so it is that we need to call upon him. We really need to enjoy that wonderful relationship with him. We would not know this except for the fact that God has taught us in his word. And in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, a very familiar passage, when he says, study to show thyself approved. We sometimes think about it, and you think about it from the standpoint of approved to some preacher, or approved to some family member, or approved to somebody else. But it says they're approved before God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. They tell us that that rightly dividing can be more properly translated, handling aright the word of truth. When we handle it aright, we'll know where the patriarch age is, we'll know where the Mosaic age is, we'll know where the Christian dispensation is when we handle it aright. Because handling it aright means that today we don't command people to build an ark of local wood for their salvation. Neither do we offer animal sacrifices in some way in which we'll find forgiveness of our sins by that blood. But we look to the wonderful blood of Christ. And as a result of that, Paul writes to Ephesians, Ephesians 1, verses 7 and 8, and note, in him or in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's wonderful to have this relationship with the Lord so that through His blood we find a pardon from our sins. That word forgive is the idea of putting away from us. It is something that is cast away, something that is not there anymore. The God of heaven is one who does that, and through Jesus it is said in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. Wonderful it is then to study God's Word and to be approved before Him. In the process of that study, we learn in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is that in hearing the Word of God, we find ourselves believing the things that are there taught. As a result, we find ourselves practicing the way of life that He's told us. And in that Word, as He's taught us how to love each other and be compassionate toward each other and be people who are forgiving of one another. You know, twice there in the book of Matthew chapter 18, down in verse 22 and the last verse 35, He notes that if you do not forgive others their trespasses till 70 times 7, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Let's be people then who learn from God's Word that we're not to be people who hold a grudge. We don't want to go to the grave holding a grudge. Boy, I tell you what, lots of things we said. I know there's a mention about Brother J. Thornton and how that he talked about things through the years. He told a story one time in regard to a man that he knew that said about some others, if that person goes to heaven, I don't want to go. Well, he talked to him a little bit and said, now, do you really want to say that? I mean, after all said and done, don't you want to base your salvation upon others and what they do? Man, that's a lot of statement there. He said, that sounds a lot of like hatred. He said, I don't hate the man, but he said, if he goes to heaven, I really don't want to go. And Brother Thornton said, I don't really think that good brother knew what hate really was. It's not a right thing to do. Listen to it once again there at the close of Matthew 18. For if ye forgive not from the heart those who trespass against you, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Being willing to forgive and having that spirit of God's going to be the judge on that last day. The Lord Jesus is going to be the final judge on that last day. And so it is that we have that in our minds. We will not want to leave this earth holding grudges against somebody. We really don't want to do that. And God's Word so teaches us that way to live. Notice in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 33, He tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things which He's been talking about, food, clothes, and shelter. All these things will be added unto you. The idea of us working as He's told us to do, making a living, using some of those funds to purchase clothes, purchase shoes, be a person that purchases food, rear a family in a good and proper and good way, all those things are part of obeying God. And you remember back there in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, when He says, fear will be put away from you, and dismay will be put away from you, and all of this because He said, I will do this by my mighty arm of righteousness. Righteousness that we practice in life, these things are the right things of God's arm, and He upholds us by that mannerism. Don't we want to be on God's side and do His right will in our daily walk of life? As a result of doing that righteous conduct, He is with us. And what did Paul write about that in Romans 8, verse 28? We know that all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord, those that are the called according to His purpose. Everything will work together for good. Not everything will be good. Not everything will be tasty as we think about it. But we'll find that in the mix of it, when it works together, it will result ultimately in good being done. I'll grow in faith. I'll grow in patience. I'll grow in knowledge. I'll grow in service. If I'll just do my part with God. And as Isaiah would say us in Isaiah 40 and verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. These people are renewing their strength. How are they doing that? They are waiting upon the Lord. And you remember our lesson the other night in regard to that word wait? It means to intertwine our lives by twisting, intertwine our lives with God. Let's visit with God. Let's serve with God. Let's take that apple pie by with God. Let's be people who are going to serve and do good, not because we have our volition about it, not because we want to, not because they'll criticize us if we don't, but because the Lord is in it with us, and we are going with Him. And as going with Him to make a visit, going with Him to serve food, going with Him to do a good word of encouragement, we don't quit, we don't stop, we love Him. And that love is wonderful. Described in 1 Corinthians 13, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And when we love Him and we love for Him to be with us in life, here we are seeking first the kingdom of God in our daily walk of life. These things being added to us of our food, clothes, and shelter, we find a wonderful blessing of the Lord in the world in which we live. As a result of the work and labor that we do, we'll be people who make some funds. And we'll want to share those funds. We'll want to be people who, as the Lord plainly said, give and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And He says in that passage, shall men pour into your bosom. What's the Lord talking about? The way that you live here on this earth. Others will see that you're serving good, you're serving the needy, you're serving the orphan, you're serving the widows, you're serving your fellow man. They'll see the good deeds that you do. They will honor those good deeds. They will reward you in like kind. And as you give, it will note to say, give and it shall be given you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will pour into your bosom. What a wonderful blessing you will have if you put first the kingdom of God in giving. Let's not be people at this point in time that find ourselves in wrongdoing. If we find ourselves thinking that we're seeking first the kingdom of God, if in fact we're misrepresenting things, we're not thinking ahead, we're not planning to carry out our promises that have been made to home and family, to the church, to the Lord's work, we're not making ourselves really going to carry that out. We're more or less becoming a little bit dishonest about it, if not a lot. We're finding ourselves resisting a way that is right and good, and God will bless it. When the Lord tells us that He will bless us and mankind will bless us, we need to go God's way and do His will, don't we? As a result of that, we find ourselves in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We enjoy the bounty of this earth in which we live. And those are the people that are described in the Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes of life. Those are the people who are described as the pure in heart that shall see God. Those that are peacemakers shall be called the children of God. These are the people who are serving the Lord in His kingdom as they have promised Him that they would. And what a blessing it comes to be that kind of people. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. In the process, we want to see that there are things that we don't know where to go. There are things that we need a little extra wisdom about. And in James chapter 1, very vividly, he describes to you and me that if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. What we're talking about here is a person who realizes, I don't know exactly what to do. I don't know which way to go. I don't know exactly the next step to take. I pray to the Lord for wisdom. I study for the knowledge. Study, show thyself approved unto God. I'm a person who seeks first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. But there are times in which I go forth and I don't know what step to take next. And I pray for the wisdom of God. But I need to pray not doubting. Let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. James says, let's be people who pray with a faith in heart, a belief that God will hear us. And that His statement, my eyes are ever over the righteous. And my ears are open to their prayers. Let's believe that. And not just in a time of illness or sickness, but but at a time in which we're serving the Lord, reaching out to the lost, reaching out to the erring. Let's be people who realize the Lord's listening to our prayers and seeing our righteous walk of life. As a result of that righteous walk of life, it's a blessing that comes from the Lord in your way and mine. As we think about walking in this way, we're walking the way that God loves. God doesn't love for people to go down that broad way and that wide gate and that broad way that leads unto destruction. And when Jesus said regarding, enter ye into the straight gate, it's difficult to get in. It's difficult to leave those things outside. We want to carry those things with us sometimes. They're comforting to us. We haven't been hurt by them as we would be hurt by them later on. But right now, we want to hold them with us. And it's difficult to go into the straight gate and walk that narrow way. But Jesus said, Matthew 7:13, it leads unto life. But if you enter into the broad gate and walk that, the wide gate and walk that broad way, it leads unto destruction. And many there be that go in there. Sometimes that broad way looks so bright. It looks so good. We carry a lot of the worldly ways with us along that time. And as we go in, we just look at the things around us, the bright lights and the whistles and the sounds and the music and the whole deal. It's just all right. But we were reminded there back in Solomon's words in chapter 14 and verse 12 and chapter 16 verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Might we say a way of destruction? For it's that wide gate and broad way. We've been deceived in thinking that that's the right way to travel. I'll use a word of profanity whenever I want to. I'll kick and snort and be mad anytime I want to. I'll tell the family where to go anytime I want to. I'll tell others across the fence what they can do anytime I want to. Well, you can do it that way. The law may let you get away with it for a time. You may get prosecuted. You may get up to a judge and say, wait a minute, you can't talk this way to your neighbor, your friend, or your family. You're accountable for this. Remember, a judge listened to a situation and he heard a particular officer of the law tell about how many times these young people had been before the court, how many times they'd been brought in on these vandalism charges and these drunken charges and all kind of troubles that they'd gone through, stealing from people and reselling and all this in the black market. And the judge said, who are the mom and dad? And they were sitting back in the courtroom. And he said, come up this way, please. And he leaned over on the bench and said, you know, this has happened so many times. He said, I believe that you have something to do with it. They sure didn't know. They didn't know where they were and what they've been doing. He said, well, you should know where they go and what they do. He said, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Next time that these people come to this court, what penalty I'm going to put on them, I'm going to put on you. You think you can find out where they are and what they're doing? They assured him that they could. Mom and Dad didn't know anything about it. Got their attention in a hurry. Let me ask you something in this regard. When we walk in the love of God, don't we see a different side of life? We see a peace, and we see a joy, and we see a way of truth. Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17, and 17 said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Through that word of guidance to right conduct, they had an opportunity to walk that way. And the Lord said that if they'll walk that way, they'll be set apart as they should, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. What a blessing it is to be that kind of person and that kind of walk of life. Walking in the love of God. Walking in the way that he's taught us that right, righteous. Walking as a reminder of some of the previous lessons that we've done this week in regard to these particular themes. Walking in the love of God is a way in which he would have us to do. And if we will walk that way, we'll find all the better blessing as we live on this earth. But you know, it'll count even more in regard to that day that suddenly that car comes across that little white line and we find ourselves suddenly in the throes of death and suddenly on life's other side. We can be people who walk in the love of God from day to day. And if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Now, these people in 1 John 1 are in the fellowship of the Father and the Son. Remember verses 2, 3, 4, and 5? They're already in the fellowship with the Father and the Son. They have the privilege to confess their wrongs, and God will hear them, and God will forgive them. Wonderful blessing it is for us. What if we're not yet in the fellowship with the Father and the Son? Well, on the day of Pentecost, they were told to repent and be baptized, and they would receive the forgiveness of their sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the case that Saul of Tarsus is told by a good gospel preacher, arise and go be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He could come into a fellowship with the Father and the Son if he would arise, be baptized, and wash away his sins. They'd understand God's will and God's way. They loved it. They didn't love with fussing and fuming. My grandfather many times held me back on the porch when we kids would go out and play ball after lunch at their house. And he'd say, son, said, I'm so proud you're going to be a gospel preacher. Second to my mama, my grandpa, he loved it. He said, you always preach with a smile. And he said, that's what y'all want you to keep doing. Preach with a smile. It's a happy thing to teach God's word and God's way. And he said, it's a wonderful thing to do. He said, but keep in mind, not everybody will be as learned as you are. Not everybody will be as reading of the Bible as you have been. Not everybody will know the things that you come to know. Be patient with them. Be kind with them. Help them to understand. Tonight, have I helped you maybe to come to understanding that you can come into the fellowship of the Father and Son the same way that Paul did when he was told to rise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord? He began that new way of life, and you can tonight. And then you'll have that wonderful privilege day by day as you live to confess your faults. And he will be faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. As tenderly he continued that letter in 1 John 2, at verse 1, he said, beloved, I write these things to you that you sin not. Do your best effort to refuse to say those words, do those deeds. Be ungodly. Do your best effort not to do that. But if you do, remember, we have a lawyer to the Father. And he is the go-between, not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. He wants everybody to be a part of this wonderful walk in His love.